Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be studying Shmuel Bet, Perek Yud Tet, Chapter 19. At the end of the last Perek, David had just been informed of the victorious battle marking the end of the rebellion and the death of his son, Avshalom. We were waiting to see what his reaction would be. Pasuk Aleph, Vayirgaz HaMelech, Vaya'al al aliyat ha-sha'ar vayevk, b'cho amar b'lechto. B'ni Avshalom, b'ni, v'ni Avshalom, mi yitein muti ani tachtecha, Avshalom, b'ni, b'ni. The king trembled and went inside the upper chamber of the gate and cried, mourning as he walked, my son, Avshalom, my son, if only I had died in your place, Avshalom, my son. Yoav was told that the king was weeping and mourning over Avshalom, and the salvation that day was turned into mourning for all the people, for they heard that the king was saddened over his son. And the people returned stealthily to the city, as if they had been humiliated by retreat from battle. And the king covered his face and cried aloud, B'ni, Avshalom, Avshalom, B'ni, B'ni, my son, Avshalom, Avshalom, my son. Yoav came to the palace and spoke harshly to the king. Vayavo pasuk vav, verse 6. Vayavo Yoav el hamelech habayit. Vayomer, hovashta hayom et pnei kol avadecha, hamimaltim et nafshecha hayom, ve'et nefesh banecha uvnotecha, ve'nefesh nashecha, ve'nefesh pilagshecha. Today you have humiliated all your loyal servants who saved your life and the lives of your children, wives, and concubines. Le'ahava etzon echa v'lisno et ohavecha. Ki higadata hayom, ki ein lecha sarim v'avadim. Ki yadata hayom, ki lu Avshalom chai v'chulanu hayom meitim, ki az yashar be'inecha. The way you're behaving is to show love to your enemies and hatred towards those who love you. You have made clear today that your officers and supporters are nothing to you. I see that if Avshalom were alive and we were all dead, that would be right in your eyes. Yoav clearly intends to shock. His words are equivalent to a slap in the face of someone who's hysterical. Yoav knows David well enough to know that, of course, this is not true. But he does want to send a forceful message that David's mourning is misplaced and excessive and is having a negative effect on the morale of the nation. He continues in Pasuk Chet, verse 8, Ve'ata kum tse v'daber alev avadecha. Ki ba'ashem nishbati ki encha yotze im yalin ish itcha halayla v'ra'a lecha zot mikol hara'a asher ba'a alecha min urecha ad ata. Now, arise and go out and speak to the people, as is customary after a victory. For I swear that if you do not go out, not a single man will remain with you, and this will be worse than any calamity that has befallen you until now. The king arose and went out to sit in the gate. And when the people heard that the king was sitting in the gate, they came before the king, while Yisrael, the supporters of Avshalom, had fled to their homes. And the nation argued among themselves, saying, the king has saved us from our enemies and from the hands of the Plishtim, and he was forced into exile by Avshalom. Avshalom, whom we anointed as king over us, is dead. So why do we delay in returning the king? When word of the people of Israel reached the king, he sent to Tzadok and Eviatar, the Kohanim, saying, speak to the elders of Yehuda, saying, why should you be the last to escort the king to his house? You are my brothers, my own flesh and blood. Why should you be the last to escort the king? Pasuk Yudalit, verse 14, Ula Amasa Tomru, Halo Atzmi Uvisariata. Ko ya'aseli Elokim v'cho Yosif, im lo sar tzavat tiye lefanai kol hayamim tachat Yoav. To Amasa, the nephew of David, who had been Avshalom's general, he sent word, saying, are you not my own flesh and blood? I swear that you shall be my general for all my remaining days in place of Yoav. So let's pause for a moment to review these psukim, particularly the interaction between David and Yoav. David is thrown into deep mourning over the death of his son. And no doubt, this mourning is exacerbated by a sense of failure. He had raised this child, who had turned so definitively against him. And one can only imagine that David was mourning not only the outcome, but every missed opportunity to have arrested the cycle of Absalom's behavior before it reached that point. The people are sensitive to his feelings of failure and loss. They relate to him as Ne'etzav al-Beno, one who is grieving over his son, over what was and what might have been. Yoav sees the matter differently. He rebukes the king for mourning over Avshalom without the adjective, your son. Look at who he was and what he was trying to do. You can't change the reality. Avshalom desired your death, your crown. He divided the nation that you worked so hard to unite and to defend. We have seen many times that loyalty was a value of primary importance to Yoav. He cannot condone Avshalom's disloyalty. David does not immediately react to Yoav. He acts on his demand that he go and address the people, encouraging them to assemble and celebrate his victory by joining in a triumphant parade of return to Yerushalayim. But he does not speak to Yoav directly. Yoav accomplished his desired goal, but at great cost to himself. He has lost whatever had remained of the confidence of David, who cannot forgive him for killing his son. David emphasizes the personal relationship he has with the people of Yehuda, Achai atem, atzmi ubisari, as well as with Amasa, as if saying to Yoav, these are the people who understand that blood is thicker than water, who respect my feeling of familial love. Amasa turned the hearts of the people of Yehuda toward David, ki'ish echad, and they sent to the king, saying, return, you and all your men. The king returned, and when he came to the Yarden, the men of Yehuda had come to greet him and escort him back across the Yarden. Shimi ben Gera of Bahurim, who had cursed and thrown stones at the king when he was leaving, hurried with an entourage of 1,000 men of the tribe of Binyamin, including Tziva, the servant of Shaul, along with his 15 sons and 20 servants, to the Yarden to accompany the king across the Yarden. Shimi flung himself before the king as he crossed the Yarden, saying, Al yachshov li Adoni avon, va'al tizkor et asher he'eva avdecha bayom asher yatza Adoni ha'melech mirushalayim, lasum ha'melech alibo. Ki yada avdecha, ki ani chatati. V'hine bati hayom rishon l'chol beit Yosef laredet likrat Adoni ha'melech. Let not my lord consider me guilty, and do not remember the wrong your servant committed on the day that my lord the king left Yerushalayim to take it to heart. For your servant knows that I sinned. And behold, I have come today to be the first of all the tribes of Yosef to come down and greet my lord the king. Before the king could respond, Pasuk Chavbet, Vaya'an Avishai ben Tsruya, Vayomer, Hatachat zot lo yumat shimi ki kilelet Mashiach Hashem? Avishai ben Tsruya responded, saying, for this will Shimi not be put to death after having cursed the anointed one of Hashem? Avishai, ever ready to take swift action against any enemy of David, is horrified by the thought that one who had threatened the king should escape punishment, and he echoes David's own language when David had prevented him from killing Shaul, as if to say, you wouldn't allow me to kill Shaul because he was the Mashiach Hashem. Will you now allow yourself to be treated differently? Is your honor not to be held in the same esteem? Pasuk Chaf Gimel, verse 23, Vayomer David, Ma li v'lachem b'nei Tsruya, ki tihiyu li hayom l'satan, hayom yumat ish b'Yisrael, ki halo yadati, ki hayom ani melech al Yisrael. David said to Avishai, what is it between you and me, sons of Tsruya, that you try to incite me today? Should any man in Israel be put to death today? Do I not know that today I am king of Israel? David is sensitive to the fact that should he have Shimi put to death today, the very day on which the nation was celebrating his return to the throne, it would cause more harm than good to the Malchut. People would assume that David was planning to seek vengeance upon all those who had supported Avshalom, which would cause strife among the people. Moreover, it was customary that on the day of his ascension to the throne, the king would act mercifully and grant pardons, much as Lahavdil Alfei Havdalot, the American president, does today at the conclusion of his term of office, to create a legacy of good feeling among the people. David's reply implies that Avshalom's hot-temperedness is a threat to his kingship, despite his intent to defend it. The fact that he jumped to respond to Shimei before the king even had a chance to speak is considered hasty and ill-judged, and David's stinging rebuke that Hayom ani melech al Yisrael, I am the king, not you, was like a slap in the face to Avishai. David swore to Shimei that he would not be put to death. The commentators point out that David does not express forgiveness to Shimei, and that the oath that he would not be put to death was not absolute, but limited to that day, in keeping with David's prior statement that no one would be put to death on that day of celebration. Now, Mephibosheth ben Shaul came down to greet the king, and he had not groomed himself or washed his clothing from the time of the king's departure to the day of his peaceful return. As he approached Yerushalayim to greet the king said to him, "Lama lo halachta imi, Mephibosheth? Why did you not accompany me, Mephibosheth?" We recall that when Siva arrived to bring supplies to David as he descended from Har HaZaitim toward the desert, he had told David that Mephibosheth was at home, hoping that somehow the rebellion would end with the restoration of the Malchut to Beit Shaul. Mephibosheth now responds, Pasuk Chafzayin, verse 27, Vayomer Adoni HaMelech Avdi Rimani. He says, "My lord, the king, my servant tricked me. Ki amar avdecha ech beshali hachamor ve'erkav aleha ve'ilech el hamelech ki piseach avdecha. I was planning to saddle my donkey and ride out to you, for I am lame. But my servant had taken the donkey and slandered me to the king. My lord, the king is like an angel of God. Do as you see fit. Every member of my father's family was worthy of being put to death by your majesty. And yet, you placed me at your own table. What right do I have to appeal further to the king?" Vayomer lo hamelech, "Lama tedaber od dvarecha? Amarti, ata v'tziva t'chalku et hasadeh." David replied in verse 30, "Speak no further, for I have already decreed that you and Tziva should split the field." David clarifies that this was his intention all along when he told Tziva that he should be granted his master's fields. David is faulted here by Chazal for accepting the slanderous report of Tziva and not fully accepting Mephibosheth's version of the events, despite the fact that he had obviously observed full mourning while David was in exile. And the sages, cited by both Radak and Malbim, teach that at the moment when David decreed that the Nachala be split by Mephibosheth and Tziva, it was decreed in heaven that the Malchut of David would eventually be split between Yehuda and Yisrael. Mephibosheth responded to David's decree, saying, "I would have been fine with him taking everything, as long as the king has returned in peace to his home." Barzillai HaGiladi, one of the three men who had brought supplies to David and his men in Machanaim, now came down from Roglim and escorted the king across the Yarden. Barzillai was very elderly, 80 years old, and he had sustained the king in Machanaim, for he was a very wealthy man. The king said to Barzillai, "Come, accompany me, and I will provide for you in Yerushalayim." Barzillai responded to the king, "How many years do I have left that I should go with the king to Yerushalayim? I'm already 80 years old. Can I still even distinguish between good and bad when tasting the food and drink, or hearing the voices of the singers? Why should I be a burden to the king? I barely managed to cross the Yarden to accompany the king. Why should the king repay me with such favor? Let me return and die in my own city and be buried with my parents. My son Kimham will cross over with my lord the king. Do for him as is good in your eyes." And the king acquiesced. "Kimham will cross with me, and I shall do as you say. Anything you desire of me, I shall do for your sake." And the people crossed the Yarden, and the king crossed over, and the king blessed Barzillai, and he returned to his place. The king crossed over to Gilgal, and Kimham crossed with him, and all the people of Yehuda escorted the king, along with half of Israel. And more people from Israel now approached the king, saying, "Why have our brothers, the people of Yehuda, stolen you and escorted you across the Yarden back home together with all of David's men?" The men of Yehuda responded, saying, "The king is our close relative. Why should this upset you? Have we eaten at the king's expense? Have we been given any gifts?" In Pasuk Mem Dalet, verse 44, "Vaya'an ish Yisrael et ish Yehuda vayomer, עשר ידות לי במלך, וגם בדוד, וגם בדוד אני ממך. ומדוע הקילותני, ולא היה דברי ראשון להשיב את מלכי? ויקש דבר איש יהודה מדבר איש ישראל. The people of Israel responded to the people of Yehuda, saying, "We have 10 shares in the king," referring to the 10 tribes that they represented. "So we have more of a claim to David than you. So why did you treat us lightly and not summon us first to welcome back our king?" And the words of Yehuda were harsher than the words of Yisrael. This is the conclusion of today's parak, but unfortunately, not the last word of the rift that had now opened up between Yehuda and Yisrael. We will begin to see the consequences in the very next perek. Thank you for studying together. Le'iluy Nishmat Frida bat Moshe Eliyahu.